You're listening to the Digital Chatter Podcast, where incredible entrepreneurs share their story. Please welcome your host, Eric Sharp.
All right. Hello and welcome everyone to today's Digital Chatter. I'm Eric Sharp and we have our guest today, Brendan Allen Barrett. He is a sales coach, trainer, and a podcaster and a father. And he's going to tell you a little bit more about himself. So Brendan, take it away.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so I do a bit of training. I do a bit of coaching. Probably the people that I work with most are entrepreneurs, early stage entrepreneurs, or people who own larger businesses. And either they need help selling themselves because they've got a craft and that craft is not selling, right? But they need customers, or they're trying to grow their sales effort by adding salespeople or adding sales development reps to help feed opportunities to their salespeople. But probably what I'm most excited about lately is my podcast project, which started out as Facebook Live, and we're getting ready to ramp and launch to iTunes. But that's the business of family and selling, and that kind of marries my two worlds, my home life, my professional life. And on that show, we talk about the shared experiences of people who either sell for a living as salespeople or run their own organization, and you know, the dynamics of being a family first seller, somebody who's got kids, a spouse to, you know, that they want to show their affection and love and support to, but also a business that's also kind of maybe their baby or a book of business that they need to grow and nurture. And how do they either balance or integrate the two?
That's awesome. And I'm looking here at your bio on your website. You've got your beautiful, your son, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Your son with you here. And so, you know, you're in Phoenix, correct? So you live and work in Phoenix. And
yes, sir.
Checking out we've checked out your stuff before the interview, but you know, tell me kind of how you got started with all of this. I mean, what's the background? You didn't really start out by doing sales in the beginning, did you?
Well, my first sales training was my junior year of college. I accepted an offer to do one of those student painter internships. I was actually working with student painters, which is basically, it's an opportunity for kids, college students to learn the skills of entrepreneurship through the exercise of managing and running a branch of an exterior painting business. So that was my first sales training. Once that summer was done, after, you know, being in charge of going out, finding the work, selling the work, organizing the work, managing the production, closing out the projects, I got a job selling at Radio Shack, you know, commission retail sales upon graduating from college, where I started pursuing a degree in econ and then decided I didn't want to go to graduate school right away. So switched to communications with an emphasis of PR. But then upon graduation, moved to California, thinking I was going to get a job in marketing, communications, you know, start low level, work my way up. Couldn't find a gig. First serious offer I got was a sales gig in construction. And so I've been working in sales ever since. About a year or so after landing in California, relocated to sunny Phoenix. And
I'm picking up, there must have been a reason behind that. What was the reason for relocating?
Better salary. So I was working, you know, as an employee salesperson. They had an opening in the territory. They wanted to, you know, expand, put a new office, but they needed the revenue base to fund a new office and new equipment in the area. So they wanted to put somebody there permanently, because for half the time I lived in California, I was splitting my time between a territory from basically Long Beach up to Ventura, and then the entire state of Arizona. So I was back and forth. And then the boss man came in and said, "Brendan, I think it's time for you to move." And I said, "How much?" And he gave me a number and I said, "Okay."
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, it is nice when the boss comes to you like that. Sometimes the boss doesn't come. Say, "Hey, you know, I got some extra money. I'm dangling a little carrot here. Are you ready for it?"
Yeah. 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 So I landed in Arizona, continued to work, kind of bounced between independent sales rep, so 100% commission and employee with a couple different organizations, marketing firms, contractors. And about 2 years ago, year and a half, 2 years ago, I cut the umbilical cord and I said, I'm going to do it myself. You know, I love working with people that I'm working with, but it doesn't allow me to do all of the things that I want to do. You know, our lives overlap, our missions overlap in certain ways, but not in others. And so to be an employee doesn't make a lot of sense for me. Started dabbling in content marketing, started to work on those communication skills, the mass communications and public relations skills and writing skills that I had basically parked since college, right?
You pick that book back up and you're trying to take a look at, you know, hey, look, I got a little bit of free time here. I'm kind of, you know, able to handle this job just fine. Let's maybe pick up my skills.
Well, what I realized, and this is about the time that my son was born, was that, you know, this hustle mindset, this working 10, 12 hours a day to compensate for my lack of experience and skills as a salesperson, well, it was working and I was performing and outperforming a lot of my peers who'd been around a lot longer. Like, it wasn't sustainable, right? Like, there was no more hours in the day. And in fact, becoming a father meant there was less hours in the day. And so trying to find ways to continue to grow my book of business, in a way that was more scalable. That meant not just putting in more hours, but working smarter rather than harder so that, again, momentum could continue. And then I kind of got on the kick of, well, I'm still very much self-employed, not building a business. And so started to move the way of building a business and offering more services other than just, you know, closing deals for people, finding opportunities for them to sell them their thing, started to put out other offers. And ultimately that's where coaching and consulting and training came about. Was, you know, I had started this blog. It was Start in Phoenix, was an experiment, you know, in my own education as far as content marketing goes. That took a pivot towards sales because it started out very much professional development, very vanilla, very bland. Turns out the people who are most interested in that kind of content are entrepreneurs and salespeople. So we made a pivot as people were starting to ask questions about prospecting and follow up and making cold calls. And, you know, should I be making cold calls? How should I be selling over social media? How do I get in front of the people without, you know, totally expending all of my bandwidth? You know, because a lot of folks, again, especially the entrepreneurs and early stage entrepreneurs, you know, they're the doer seller, right? They got to sell the thing and then they got to do the thing. And when you split your focus, you know, that can be tough. So again,
it's extremely difficult. Yeah. I mean, we've all done it. I think at some point in time, if you are an entrepreneur, but the ones that eventually wise up to the game, they realize, okay, I'm either good at doing the thing or I'm either good at selling the thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I gotta hire someone to do the thing I'm bad at doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I've done a couple of different things for a couple of, for different folks. Right. And so for some of them, it's, you know, I'm so early on, I need to learn some of these skills so that I can get myself to a point of cash flow that I can outsource. And other folks, it's, I know how to do this. I don't have the bandwidth. We've sold all this stuff. And I know if the prospecting activity stops or the marketing activity stops, that we're going to finish these contracts and not have anything to replace it. Right. So we need to outsource and we need to do it now. And then other folks, either they're at a similar point, but they're big enough to be able to shoulder the expense of hiring people full time to do that. But again, they're not the all-star salesperson, or they don't have the bandwidth to train. And so either I'm training them to sell for themselves, or I'm taking some of that workload and putting them into more meetings so they can focus on the higher level conversation rather than all of the phone tag, email, social media pings that take to qualify a person, get their permission to sell, and then set up that first meeting or discovery call. And then there are other folks who, again, want to do that all in-house, but need somebody to help get the ball rolling and keep their team sharp by revisiting those ideas. Sure. And being the mirror so that they can see their own blind spots.
So I got a question for you. So say you're an entrepreneur, you know, it's just you and only you, you know, maybe you got a virtual assistant, maybe you have a spouse helping you out, you know, maybe on the back end finances or something like that. But how do you find out whether you're good at one or the other thing? I mean, you know, I'm sure you've trained enough people where you realize, like, at a certain point, you're just not a good salesperson. You're better at hammering a hammer. So how do you find these things out?
I think it really, you can become good at whatever you want to be good at, right? I mean, we all have natural aptitudes, but really comes down to what excites you, you know, what challenges you in a flashy way. And if you, you know, if something is exciting and challenging to you, you're going to want to jump down that rabbit hole and trade the nuance for the next of that one area for the, you know, the next shiny thing that comes along, and you can get really good at it. Typically an entrepreneur has already identified that thing that they want to get really good at, and it's not sales. I mean, if you're me, it's sales and selling stuff, right?
Of course.
But for other folks, it's, you know, they're an accountant, or they're a content creator, or they're an editor, or, you know, they've got this skill set. This is something that they've worked on for a while, and they've probably done it for somebody else. Now they want to go out on their own, either out of necessity because, you know, they've become too high priced to continue to work for somebody else, or they have a bigger vision than the people that they can find work with. So they want to go do it themselves. You know, if that's the case, yeah, you should probably learn some things about sales and marketing so that you can manage your own marketers and your own salespeople, but you don't need to be the all-star salesperson, right? Because your skill set, you know, you only have the bandwidth to be good at so many things.
This is very true. Yeah. Especially as a father and a family man, it's definitely tough. So tell me a little bit more about, you know, why you do what you do. I mean, you know, what's the whole point of doing all this? You know, what are you trying to leave on this earth, so to speak?
Well, I try to run my life and run my business on a few pretty simple principles. You know, I want to be a helpful guy. I want to be a guy who brings value to the table to every working relationship. You know, I don't want to be a leech. I want to be able to, you know, help people get where they're going, you know, through this set of core competencies that I have. I also want to be, you know, ultra transparent. I also, you know, there may come a point where our lives don't match up or our businesses don't overlap in the way that they once did, and we need to go our separate ways. I would like to know that the work that we did together is not lost, that from that work, you have a foundation in which you can catapult yourself to the next thing with the next person or completely on your own. So, you know, whether I'm doing training, you know, there's a lot of things built in for customer success after the engagement is over. But then, you know, if I'm doing outsource lead gen or prospecting activity for somebody, you know, we're going through the process of building the list and doing a bunch of research and setting, you know, scripts and everything else to start these conversations and cue people up for higher level sales conversations. Regardless of our results, those things are typically a deliverable as well. So you're growing a database that you can then use to, you know, cycle into your more formal email marketing rather than sales email messages, or, you know, carry on the prospecting activity yourself in house or with the next person that you decide you're going to contract with to take that activity.
Okay. I mean, and this is, so Brendan, this sounds a lot like, you know, what you're trying to do, like, business wise. And that's great. And that sounds like you're going to, you know, you're a phenomenal growth artist, if you will. I mean, you're great at helping get people on the next level to the next step. And you probably provide a lot of breakthroughs for people, really. I'm still curious, you know, digging a little bit deeper into more of the personal passions and everything. You know, it's like, you know, you got a picture of your kid here, you know, in this photo here in your About Me, you know, what, you know, really, if there's no such thing as sales anymore, what really drives you ultimately? I mean, what is kind of one of your higher purposes?
Yeah, I mean, I get really excited about learning about things. You know, as a kid, I wrestled from like kindergarten or first grade all the way through my freshman year of college, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was always diving down that rabbit hole, trying to pull back the layers and find new things, new ways of doing things that were easier or more effective than the last way to do the thing. And, you know, business is kind of that sport and sales is kind of that sport that I've traded up for, right? You know,
always I love spending every day. It's a new challenge. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I love spending time with my family. You know, my little boy just turned 3 here in August, and you know, that's super exciting. Lindsay and I, my fiance, we're getting married here in November. That's a pretty exciting milestone.
Yeah.
It's going to be an opportunity to bring the family together, you know, cause I live here in Arizona. I'm 3,000 miles away from my parents. Lindsay's immediate family, you know, her brothers, her sister, her mom, grandma all live here in Arizona, but much of the extended family actually lives in Arizona. Like she was born in the same state I was born. We met here 20 something years later. Right.
Wow.
And so like bringing the family together gets me excited, having excuses to bring everybody together and have that connection that, you know, that and learning, those are things that really excite me. And so, you know, in the grand scheme of things, doing more of that is what Lindsay and I are trying to set up. And so I try to do it on a micro level every day in my business, but I also try to organize my business to allow me to do it on a much larger scale as we move on. You know, okay. I figure I moved 3,000 miles away from my parents. My kids are going to move at least 6,000 miles away from me. So Lindsay and I have to find a way to fund traveling to see them on a weekly basis.
There you go. Setting it up right. Sure. So Brendan, tell me, what are some of the pitfalls that you see, you know, when you coach people or tell people about, you know, developing a family business? Because back in the day, you know, 50 plus years ago, family businesses were more common. You know, mm-hmm. you would eventually learn and do what your father or mother did. But nowadays, it's becoming more and more rare. You know, maybe answer this in a two-part question. You know, why do you think family businesses kind of drifted away? And then what are some of the pitfalls for people who are trying to start family businesses now?
Mm-hmm. So like I had an interesting conversation about this with Tony Banta on my show a couple of weeks ago, and he grew up in a family business, you know, went out to do his own thing and started helping his mom with her latest business. It ultimately got to a point where they had to close the thing down and help all their employees find new work. So he's seen the pluses, he's seen the negatives. Now he's doing his own thing. His fiance works with him part time. And the other part of the time, she's working in her family's business and they're trying to transition her into that, into their business together, right? Full time. And, you know, to be honest, like a family business for me scares the daylights out of me. And I've been advised by certain folks, you know, don't bring your spouse into the business. Don't bring these people that you have to go home to into the business because you're not going to be able to unplug. What happens at work? Yeah, it's stressful, but like going home to, you know, a completely different environment helps you recharge and be excited for that the next day. So don't mix them because you're never going to have that opportunity to recharge and get excited again. So there's a couple of different things there. I think the more I learn about myself, I think my fear is trying to plug a family member into the business just because they're family is a recipe for disaster. And so like, you know, that anxiety that I get about plugging family members into my business comes from, well, there's not really a good fit for them either ever or yet. Like the things that get them really excited, that doesn't exist over here yet. And so like plugging them in doesn't make a lot of sense. It's just going to create stress.
Sure. That's good advice. Yeah.
And, you know, I think I'm not a historian, but my gut tells me that people have gotten away from family businesses for that reason. Kids grow up, they want a job, they get hired so they don't have to go out and look for work elsewhere. Like if the kids don't have the skill to be plugged in and the parents don't have the time to teach them that skill, like they should go work for somebody else who has the time to teach them that skill. And if that evolves over time into something that gets them excited that they can plug into the business, then great. But if it doesn't happen, nobody should be upset about it either. Right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, certainly there's plenty of doctors who want their kids to be doctors, and you know, they don't want to do that. They want to be a lawyer. They want to be an artist, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I focus a lot of things through the lens of sales and marketing and business development, right? And so that core principle there, like, what do you want to do? What's going to get you excited? What's going to, you know, aid you in being gritty, allow you to withstand, have the perseverance through the not so awesome times and the grind that is inevitable in anything that you pursue? Like, sometimes the sun doesn't shine. And if you're not totally on fire about this thing, you're not going to be able to get to that sunnier day. You're just going to call it quits and you're going to go do something else, or you're, you know, you're just going to implode, right? And so when I work with folks about sales or, you know, prospecting activity, you know, I start with why. Why is this important? What do you want to accomplish? From there, we're going to orient our activity to feed that higher purpose. Because when that happens and you see momentum towards that thing, that fire is going to grow, right? And the bigger that fire gets, the more you're going to be able to withstand the time when there isn't all that much wood to feed the fire, right? Because it's bigger. It's already big enough to withstand. So I don't know if that was too woo-woo for you, but
totally get it. And I'm sure some of the people watching get it as well. So that's awesome. Well, do you, first of all, thanks so much for coming on here. I mean, do you have any kind of wise wisdom words you want to leave us, or, you know, what would you tell yourself 5-10 years ago, you know, that you wish you had known?
I guess 5-10 years ago, it would be, you know, find opportunities to step outside your comfort zone. You know, for me, growing up in a blue collar family and having, you know, immigrant relatives and all these people who, you know, didn't work in sales, there weren't a lot of white collar folks around. Like, salespeople were dirty, icky people. They were slimy. Everybody had that image of Danny DeVito and Matilda, you know, the used car salesman that nobody wants to deal with, who's conning people into cars that they don't want, or, you know, paying too much for a lemon. Like, that was the idea that I had. And because of that, I was afraid to initiate conversations. Like, sales, especially like pre-sales activity, prospecting activity, like, that's a fact-finding mission. You're out there to learn things. It's really cool if you learn that, hey, this person has a problem I can fix and they got the money to fix it. Like, we could do business. But that's not the only victory from starting the conversation. I learn about them. I learn about how I can better target, you know, new prospects. I learn about questions that I'm going to have to answer that's going to help me land in a real sales conversation, a discovery phase sooner. But that starts with, you know, saying no to the mental junk and putting yourself in that uncomfortable situation, that just beyond your comfort zone. And if you do that every day, or at least every week, you're going to see progress. You're going to see momentum. And in my world, you're going to close more deals. You're going to find more opportunities, close more deals, and be able to grow those accounts over and over and over again.
It's perfect. It's perfect. Thank you so much, Brendan. So how come people follow you? Where do they go to get in touch with you?
So just about every week, we stream episodes of The Business of Family and Selling live to Facebook. So you can like us at Start in Phoenix on Facebook. And of course, you can comment and ask questions as we're live, or folks can actually submit questions for future episodes by stopping by Start in Phoenix. So that's startinphx.com/family. And when you actually submit a question, to be answered on a future episode of the show, you'll actually get access to my 7-day sales challenge, which walks you through a lot of what we've talked about, starting with why, who you are, what's important to you, what you should be selling based on that, who you should be selling it to, and how you should be going about the task of selling. And then, you know, how do you take your current offer and add lower rung offer, you know, break it down into lower rung offers so you can get paid to sell your bigger offer or your main offer, and how you can grow those accounts beyond what today, you know, your primary offer today is, so that you, again, can sell more and more, increase your revenue by focusing on a few folks you can help really well and selling them more things that they appreciate at a higher price point, rather than having to pull your hair out running around trying to sell more of the same nickel and dime deals to people who don't appreciate you, don't appreciate your time, and don't really appreciate your thing. So you get free access to that at startinphoenix.com/family when you submit a question to be answered on a future episode of The Business of Family and Selling.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brendan. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks, Eric. It was a pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Digital Chatter. Subscribe now to our podcast, and you'll never miss a great interview like this one.